I want to thank all of you for your love and your kindness and showed to us. I told Phil coming back today from lunch, I said, Phil, going to be awful hard to go back home and climb down off the throne and just be human again, you know. It ain't like at home like it is when you go visiting, you know. And I thank you for all of your love you've shown. We've had a wonderful time. Been a great day. And I want to say this to the church. You ought to thank God for what you have here. Back before COVID struck and all, I was pulling about 42 to 44 weeks of revival a year. And a lot of places where I go, they don't have nobody to sing. They don't have anything. And I wonder, you know, and very few people. Y'all are really blessed here at this church. You got a beautiful building. You got 11 people, kind to one another. Lift up, remember what you're here for. And thank God for your pastor and his wife. Not many pastors' wives, a lot of times, help them a lot. But y'all are grateful. You ladies have somebody you can talk to and your man of God. And I want you to pray for him. Lift him up to God. And if you ever get tired of him, just pray for him real hard. He'll preach himself to death. And another thing, if that don't work, take him out to eat every Sunday, and before long, he won't be able to preach. If that don't work, walk up to him and ask if there's anything you can do for the church, and he'd die of a heart attack. You'd be rid of him. So, just be that. Well, I ain't got a coat on tonight. I ain't. I hardly ever wore one most places where I go. You took them off here, but it's been a little cold. Phil's been keeping it cool where I'm at, so I'm hot. So just go ahead, brother, and help yourself. We don't mind. I'll thank you for shouting. I'll keep on preaching. Amen. But when I grew up, all we had was a spoon. When I grew up, and I go places now to eat, you know, and kind of fancy homes, and they put two plates out. And I don't know what that's for. One's always been enough for me. And then they lay two forks out, and I don't know. I just use one of them. I don't know what the other one's for, because best I can figure out, it all goes in the same place, regardless of what plate it comes out of. Well, that's enough of that, ain't it? Two more things, and I'll preach. Brought this little thing with me today. Can all of you see that? See that real good? One of them said you should get excited about church as you do at a football game. Did that once, and they asked me to leave. Really, why? After the sermon, I dumped a Gatorade cooler on the preacher. He'd go back no more, Benny. Put that cooler on him, amen. Then I got one for all you fast drivers, and we'll bring the message. This for all you that speeders on the highway. 45 miles an hour, you're saying God will take care of you. 65 miles an hour, you're saying you're my God to thee. 85 miles an hour, you can start singing this world is not my home. At 95 miles an hour, you can start singing, Lord, I'm coming home. And if 100 miles an hour, you can sing precious memories, how they linger. So that's the speeder's thing. And I got a whole sheet of preacher's songs to sing. All right, turn with us tonight. I want to bring a message up to the Lord. I always try to make myself at home wherever I'm at. I don't want to. I say things that are kind of comical and all. I don't claim to be a comedian, but I do believe you ought to have a freedom in the house of God, and I believe you ought to make people feel free. So turn with us tonight, Book of Titus, chapter 2, and verse 11. We'll bring a message tonight the Lord's impressed upon our heart to preach on a subject that I'm really convinced is near at hand, and yet very little is being said about it in the day and the hour that we live in. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, if you want to stand, please, we'll read together, and then bring the message from the Word of God. And the Bible said in Titus 2, 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight, if God will help us for a little while, out of verse 11 of Titus chapter 2, when the Bible said, looking for that blessed hope. Now I want to preach on the blessed hope we have. 318 verses refer to the coming again of our wonderful Lord. I believe that coming is very, very near. I believe we are the last time generation before the coming again of our wonderful Lord. I want to say, by way of introduction, the scoffers deny. The Bible said in 2 Peter 3, this know also in the last days, scoffers shall arise, saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. But you know and I know different. They scoff at the judgment of God in Noah's day. They scoff at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah by fire. But it makes no difference what the scoffers say. They cannot do that. I said one good thing about the coming of God. It don't have to go through Washington, D.C. or Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. There ain't no House and no Senate and no President going to vote on whether the Lord's coming back or not. And you can deny it and scoff at it, but it won't change our Lord's mind one bit. The scoffers deny it. And I want to say that the saints desire it. Amen. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with the Lord, which for me is far better. You know what's wrong with us to say we've got too adjusted to the world we live in now. The old saints that went to the house of God didn't have anything when they left and didn't have anything when they got back home. Their hope was in a world to come and in a life beyond this life. That's why they're so happy when they got there and started singing about, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possession lies. When shall I reach that happy place and forever shall be blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? They're shouting and praising God. I'm looking for a better day. Amen. The Scriptures declare it. Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, he that shall come, and will not tarry. James 5:8, be patient and establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And then the sinner will dread it. Amen. The sinner will dread it. God's door of grace for Noah stood open 7 days, and nobody got on board. And after 7 days, God rose up and shut to the door. The door of God's grace had been standing open for 2,000 years. And the invitation is, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. But that invitation about to be closed. Man, if the lost world could see how close that door was to being closed, they'd run and get saved by God's grace. The last member of the body of Christ is going to be complete. We'll be having services someday, and the last sinner that's ever going to get saved will get saved. And the last little boy or girl that ever find God is going to give their heart to God. And the Lord's going to say, my body's complete now, and that door of God's grace is going to come and be shut. And when that trumpet sound, there'll be no more opportunity for anyone that's ever heard the gospel to ever get saved. But take time out to say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Hallelujah to God. So I'm telling you, it is coming. We'll give you 4 or 5 things. First of all, I want to say the blessed hope we have is a confirmed hope. Amen. It's not guessing, it's not thinking, but it is a confirmed hope. A confirmation number at a hotel with a credit card paid assures you that you'll have a room when you get there if it's 4 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 4 in the morning. And they'll have that died a confirmed number. I have a confirmed promise. He is coming again. First of all, it's confirmed by the Savior. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. It's confirmed by a shining angel. Amen. Angels are the messengers of God. And by the way, ladies, I'm sorry, but in the Bible, angels are not women. Amen. One man told me, he said, I know for sure I married an angel. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, she's continually up in the air. And she's always harping about something. And she never has an earthly thing to wear. I know she must be an angel. That's supposed to be funny, but I don't know whether you got it or not. You men, shame to lie. Afraid your wife get on you when you get home. Amen. But our Lord stood out and gave him the last words. Little cloud floated by, reached up and pulled it down, made him a little place on the side and said, glory please. Hadn't been to Houston, hadn't been to Cape Canaveral, didn't have no spaceship. Ted Turner wasn't reporting, but he said, glory please. And that little cloud just started spinning out of heaven. They watched him go up into heaven, and he stood there gazing. And the Lord sent back 2 men in white apparel. They said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing steadfastly up into heaven? This same Jesus, not Elijah, not Abraham, not John the Baptist, not Stephen, but this same Jesus which you see go shall so come in like manner as you see him go. Woo! He left on a cloud. He's coming back on a cloud. He left visible to them that were there, and he's coming back visible to them that are saved. You know, I used to get excited every time a big cloud would come over, you know. I'd say, man, that might be the one the Lord's on. And then I read in Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, where it said, the clouds are the dust of God's feet. And God decides to move a little bit. He just shakes himself. You ever been up in a plane 36,000 feet high and looked out and seen them big old pillars of cloud? That's when God's moving around and just shaking his feet a little bit. And I thought how quick God could move and shake his foot and a cloud could appear and a shout could come from heaven and we'd be homebound. My friend, it is that confirmed by the Scriptures. It is confirmed by the sinful state of the world we're living in now. We are victims of last day Bible prophecy. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, heady, high-minded, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I like some sports, but America has gone crazy over sports. You could drop a ball into hell and 75% Baptists would jump in to get it out. Their church don't mean nothing when the Super Bowl time comes around. Preach on, Preacher Langston. I'm telling you, friend, having a form of godliness. I have never seen as many churches in my life took their name off their church, off their church sign. Don't want nobody to know what kind they are. Every dog's a collie or a shepherd or a pooch or a poodle. You've got some kind of name. Amen. I'm glad some of them took it off because they wasn't a church to start with. Now it's the vine, it's the porch, it's the way. Yeah, I'm telling you, friend, they've taken the stained glass out, put in black windows, got psychedelic lights, got all kind of music playing. You can choose your choice and sit at your table and drink coffee and eat donut and smoke your cigarette and play the boards you want to play. And they'll roll a screen down and give you about 10 minutes, a little Bible some, and talk about how many got saved by God's grace. I'm telling you, America needs some God-called men to get in our pulpits and preach against sin and hell and the devil. Amen. This form of godliness is out of the pits of hell. Amen. You can't save somebody by worldly methods. Amen. If you could save them by psychedelic life and all kind of music, and had a preacher friend walked into his church, now we ordained him. If I catch him, I'd get his ordination, but it wouldn't matter, amen. He's ordained, and he went past the church, and he changed the name first, and took the Baptist off. And then he went in one Sunday and said, we're not having the piano no more and the music here. We're bringing in one instrument and it's something to play all that other music, you know. And he said, that'll begin next Sunday. There's about three men jumped up and said, that'll never come in our church. Amen. We ain't gonna have it. Throwed his keys down and left. He ought to left. They ought to rode him out of town on a rail after he'd been tarred and feathered. Amen. Form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Listen, God's still alive. God's still on the throne. And if God don't save people, they'll be in hell anyway. It don't matter about your report down at the independent meeting when you gather and you had so many got saved and you didn't have but one or two and you felt bad to tell about it. Preach on, Preacher Langston. I'm talking about, Bible said, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth, distress of nations. And he said, perplexity of things. And he said that in the latter days, men's heart would be failing them because of fear for the things that were coming upon the earth. Amen. How old are you, Montgomery? Oh, you're in bad shape. Then you're in bad shape. I heard going down the road out of an issue they wrote that by the year, now listen to me, by the year 2025, the average heart attack is going to be between the age of 25 and 35. Stress. You in that number. I'm home free. Hallelujah, brother. Shout. Amen. Shout, son. You're home free. We ain't in that group. I'm telling you, stressed out. Amen. Pressure. All day long pushing button. Come home and ride down for 4 hours. America's going crazy over electronics. Amen. Stress upon them. Hearts can't stand it. He said, men's heart failing them because of fear. And when you see these things coming upon the earth, lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Praise God, we're just about to get out of here. Amen. The falling away is going to continue. Wickedness will increase. The warfare of Satan will never give up. Few souls will be saved between now and the coming of God. Noah preached righteousness. Build an ark, 120 years, got 8 people in. And if it had been in our day, Noah wouldn't have got nobody but one on board. Look funny now. It just ripes the preaching here, and I like this kind of weather. Thank God for it. Amen. If it had been our day, they'd never got on the ark. God had said, now, darling, it's time for you to walk that plank and get on that ark. For God said, get on the ark, Noah. And she looked at him and said, now look, old man, you ain't going to tell me what to do. I make more money than you do, and you ain't going to be my boss. You men sitting beside your wife, don't say amen, because I can stay with you a while, and then after that, it's you and her, and it's going to be bad. Amen? She said, I ain't going. And then it said, boys, get on board. Hey, Dad, we do our own thing. Go smoke our pot and drink our beer and chase our women. We ain't getting on that ark. But thank God, They all marched that gangplank, and they were saved when God shut the door. You can have what this world's got to offer. It's all vanity. It's all going to wind up in the judgment of God. I'm glad, thank God, in the midst of all of it, we're going to hear a shout from heaven. Woo! Lord's coming back. Sinful nation could preach all night. Amen. Praise God. When I growed up, it's different. Amen. When I grew up, we had an outhouse, and we eat in the house and use the bathroom out. Now they eat outside and the bathroom's inside, and that's fine and good. But nowadays, people are so dumb, they don't even know the difference between a woman's room and a men's room. I don't have to wait till my kids are 4 or 5 years old to decide whether they're going to be a male or a female. My God that created me, formed me in my mother's womb, He made me a man and He made you a woman, and you ought to thank God for it and get off of this ungodly gender stuff of men marrying, women marrying, in marrying, no marrying. You ought to get off of that. It's an abomination in the sight of God. Sodomites have filled our land. Give them a day. Amen. Lesbians, homosexuals, drunkards and drinking beer. Yeah, they taxed the cigarette folks that smoked. Yeah, but they didn't tax no liquor crowd because Washington couldn't have paid the bill. Amen. They love their liquor and all. What are you preaching on? You know what I'm preaching on. It's a sinful time. And times are coming. And I'll tell you this, and I'll move on. And the old sainted mother and dad was going to a church, and they met the preacher as they were preaching in the meeting. And they said, we're still going to the church where we went when we was young. And preacher said, well, what's wrong? He said, well, we said we can't hardly go. Said they've changed Bibles, and they don't sing songs anymore. Said they write them up on the wall, and said, a preacher just talks, and said, there ain't no power there. He said, why don't you go down and find you a place where there's preaching and singing and worshiping God? You know what they said? They said, we go there because mother and daddy are buried in the cemetery. You know what the preacher said? Dig them up and take them with you. They wouldn't have stayed there either. I'm going to stay in an old-fashioned Bible preaching. My friend, hell, fire, and condemnation from this blessed book. I'm going to stay spiritual worship till the day I die. And when I come out of that grave, I'm a coming out like I went in. I'll still be a-shouting and a-praising God. Woo! Sinners, be ashamed that day they didn't find God. Number two, it's a cleansing hope. Separation. Bible, praise God, teaches us denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we shall live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. They'll get saved by God's grace. There'll be a change in your language. You get saved by God's grace. There'll be a change in your looks. You get saved by God's grace. There'll be a change in your lifestyle. Amen. Woo! Glory! Man, I'm telling you, 2 Corinthians 6:17, talks in verse 14, what fellowship hath Christ with Belial, and darkness with light, and the infidel with he that believeth? Come out among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. That's what God said. I'll be a father unto you. You'll be my sons and daughters. Then chapter 7, verse 1, 2 Corinthians, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. You know why preachers go and allow all this worldly stuff going to church? They try to get a few more members. I ain't interested in quantity. I'm looking for some quality. Amen. Praise God. I'd rather have several that love God than to have a house full of no dedication. You don't take God off and hang Him on the church door when you leave on Sunday and pick Him up on Wednesday night. Living for God's a daily, 7-day thing. And if you love God, you'll separate yourself from this present sensual world and you'll cleave to God. Not only in our separation, but in our sanctification. Romans 12, when I beseech you by the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and accept unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we got a lot of saints sitting around praying to God how they can get their white robe down over their snowy white wings. Mm-hmm. You better be concerned about how you're going to get a crown down around some of them horns that's growing out. Amen. Dedication. Sold out to a cause. Hebrews 12:1, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Master on high. Amen. Dedicated my life to God October 26, 1952. Went down to the altar, sitting on the second bench, the three rows across the church, sitting on the second bench. That preacher started preaching. He's a normal man. He hadn't been preaching 20 minutes till his finger got longer and longer. He just come around the bench and got in where I was at. Man, I was so convicted. I couldn't wait for him to get through preaching. And as soon as he gave the invitation, I shot out of there. And these five passed me on the way down. That morning, I dedicated my life to God. Lock, stock, and barrel. I stole down. Lord, I've never had such a happy life that anybody could have in my life. That afternoon, laying under an old oak tree, about 12, 15 of us men was over in the woods praying for the service that night. And I got a call from heaven. And God called me to preach that afternoon. I announced it that night and preached my first sermon on October 27, 1952. And I tell you, I've given my life, my heart to God. Somebody said, well, you've missed out on a lot of things. You never drunk beer. You never done this. You ain't been out. You missed out on a lot of things. I want to stand in this pulpit and tell you tonight, I've got in on a lot of things that are a lot better than what this world ever had to offer. I'm happy in my soul. My life's dedicated to God. My heart's given to God. My wife and I were married 62 years and 5 months. She recorded 212 songs. Half of me and a part she'd been gone 6 years. And I'm still going on. But I've got fire burning in my heart, giving my life to God. I don't even count my life dear to myself. I'm trying to please the one that pleased His Heavenly Father. Woo! Preach on. My stewardship helped the cleansing hope. I must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us is going to give an account for our life after we got saved. Sins have been forgiven, they're forgotten. But after you're saved, every sin will be paid for. Judgment seat. Amen? Bible said in Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. I believe, I'm so crazy. I even believe in going to church on Sunday night. And I make it out Wednesday night. And some of y'all need to get you a car to crank on Sunday. Yeah. Get you a car to crank on Wednesday night and come up the highway and turn in up here. The thing you got ain't no count. It'll run to Walmart and work everywhere, but it won't get to church. I'm going to tell you, good folk, when your bed starts feeling better on Sunday morning than a seat does in the house of God, you need to find you an old-fashioned altar and get on and weep and say, God, help my backslidden heart. I'm not where I ought to be with You. I love Him. I worship Him. I want to be in His house. Well, I worship at home. Yeah, you enjoy that Facebook and them, and all them TV preachers. Amen. Because you like to worship in your pajamas and your little gown and sip your coffee and drink your marmalade while meeting's going on. And then they don't pass no offering plate. You're really happy. Boy, I better be glad this is the last night. Amen. I'm preaching on faithful. Some folks, when they get to heaven, if they don't have Christmas decorations, they won't think they're in church. If they go to Easter, they ain't got lilies, they won't think it's church. If they go and ain't got flowers to give away on Mother's Day, they'll say, man, this ain't church. They go to a wedding, and they got flowers. They go to a funeral, and they got flowers. That's all they know about church. If they get to heaven, there ain't a bunch of flowers around, they'll say, where are we at? We need some folks in our day that'll sail out to God and put God first in their life and forget about a lot of things that's costing you a lot of money and bringing you no joy. I'll say this and I'll move on. Now, hold on. I ain't got but four more pages. Just stay still. Amen? But I'm telling you. Now, listen to me. Folks borrow money to go on vacation. Huh? And they heard about a place that was a good place to go. So they drive 8 hours. They get to spend 3 days and they drive a day back. We got five, you know. That's 6, 7 because we don't have to get back till Sunday night because we don't go to work till Monday morning, you know. They go back and they've gone all that time to spend all that money. And then they get back and here's what they say. You know, I'm sure I'm disappointed where we went. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're disappointed because you went out there and spent all that money and you ain't going to pay it back. But them card people, Visa and MasterCard and Capital, they real good to you. I got a couple of them I buy gas with and 2 little groceries down at the dollar store. I pay every month. They hate me. I pay them every month. They hate me. I got a bill this month. So wonderful. They're so good to me. They said, you only have to send in $15 this month. Lord have mercy. I'd take that off my boards and they'd never know it. You don't have to spend the $15. But down there I've seen where 28% interest are going to be added on. And I'll be paying for it for generations if I pay it like they wanted to. They're making money off of it. And you're trying to get a happy time out of borrowing yourself out of debt and paying. The only way to be happy is to live for God and enjoy the blessing of God and dedicate your life to living for God. Amen. The number three, there's a comforting hope for the sorrowful. Hallelujah. God's coming back. Trumpet of God's going to sound. He said, I'd not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that sleep in Jesus, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We believe Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive remain shall not prevent change or go before them that have died in the Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's a liberating hope. We're going to get saved from the flesh, the world, and the devil. Thank God we're going to see our loved ones again. That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? And that trump sounds, we're going up. We're going to see our loved ones again. Most of all, we're going to meet our Lord Jesus Christ in the air. 1 John 3:3, we should be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Isaiah 33:17 said, thine eyes shall see the King in all of His beauty. One day I'm going to stand in His presence. I'm going to share in His possessions. And I'm going to sit with Him positionally on His throne. What a day that day will be. So I got a comfort today. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then lastly, it's a challenging hope for the sinner. Better be ready. Door of God's grace come to a close. 2 Corinthians 6:2. My friend, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today may be the day He calls. And I'll tell you, delayed getting right with God, spirit knocked. I wonder how many times you've heard them saying, "Oh, why not tonight? Just as I am with that one plea. O Lamb of God, I come to Thee." That invitation's going to be over. One day the last song's going to be sung. Delayed getting right with God. Rich young ruler went away sorrowful. Old Pilate washed his hands of that blood, died, went to hell. Felix said, "I'm almost persuaded the Agrippa did." Yeah. Felix said, "At a more convenient time, far as I know, all of them lift their eyes in hell, doomed to eternity without God." Psalm 9:17 said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell with all nations that forget God, lost forever." Charlie Leddy wrote that song, "Just as I am, without one plea. O Lamb of God, I come to Thee." That's the way you've got to come. I'm glad for the hope that I have in the Lord. He is coming back. Are you ready to meet Him? Do you have everything cleared up on your account? You can get it cleared up. Ask God to help you, forgive you. If you're not ready for that appearing, you better get ready tonight. Because He is coming. And He's coming soon. Every head bowed and every eye closed.